Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Robert Engel, who is the Trenton Bureau Chief for Gannett New Jersey Newspapers, who writes a syndicated column called Politics Patrol, an award-winning veteran journalist, broadcaster, and New York Times bestselling author. His books include The Soprano State, New Jersey's Culture of Corruption, and Chris Christie, the inside story of his rise to power. He tweets at BobEngel99. Welcome to Background Briefing, Robert Engel.
Glad to be here, sir.
And your fascination with the New Jersey governor, having done a biography on him, and he's certainly very much in the news now, some of the luster's coming off. Is this something that you had any inkling of, that this was a rising star who would rise forever?
Well, people ask me about, in terms of the 2016 presidential race that he had... he's widely rumored to be interested in, if there was anything in his background that would cause a problem. In other words, they were asking how well we vetted him for the book, and I said we vetted him pretty well. I didn't see anything there. We have the good, the bad, and the ugly in the book, and if you want to know anything about Chris Christie, that's where you go. In fact, a lot of the newspapers around the country now are reading our book and writing stories about it based on the book. But I said if he gets in trouble over anything, it's probably going to be something that is relatively minor, happening in New Jersey, that's just going to grow and grow. And that apparently is exactly what has happened. Not that if you have to cross the George Washington Bridge, that's minor. It's the busiest bridge in the world. But it is nothing really, really big and egregious in his background that led to this. This is something that was going on by his current associates, apparently. We don't know everything yet, of course.
Well, now, in terms of the vetting that was done by Mitt Romney, who apparently considered him, Christie, as a potential vice presidential candidate, was there any indication that he was rejected based upon some information that Mitt Romney had dug up?
I don't see anything. There is a situation involving New Jersey law that has to do with fundraising from Wall Street. And it's complicated, and I won't get into that. But that might have been a problem if he had been on the team raising money. The other thing that I'm hearing is that the people around Romney really didn't like dealing with Christie, the New Jersey governor, who tends to be brash and tell it like it is. I think some of them got their nose bent out of joint because of his directness.
So just a chemistry issue then, you think?
I think it mostly was the stories that I've heard. For instance, when he was at the Republican convention in Tampa, they had done a video of him that actually looks pretty good. And before he gave the keynote, they were going to be running that video. Well, somebody ran over. And they got off their time schedule, and so they told him that he'll go out and he'll give the speech, but they won't run the video. And he basically told them, if the video doesn't run, I'm not giving a speech. So what were they going to do, right? They ran the video. And I think if it's things like that, many times the people around politicians and powerful and famous people tend to take on the authority of whoever they work for, and sometimes they get bent out of shape if they think that they're not being given the respect they think they deserve.
Well, it does seem, Bob Engel, though, that Christie's paying a price, at least in the polls. The latest poll from Quinnipiac that came out on Thursday, which is a poll from Colorado, a swing state, for, talking about 2016, which of course seems to be a rather premature exercise, shall we say.
Yes.
But they're saying, the poll says that the percentage of Coloradans who say Christie would make a good president dropped from 48% in November to 36% today. Mm-hmm. So that doesn't look good.
Well, no, but you know how public opinion polls are. If they're done correctly, Quinnipiac is one of the better polls. If they're done correctly, they're good for the day that they're done. You can't project them down the road. And in politics, 2 years is like 50 in real people years. Anything can change, and the American electorate tends to have a very short memory. Larry Sabato at the University of Virginia, very, very respected man in political circles, came out with the crystal ball standing of the people who have the best chance of being the Republican nominee for president currently. And Christie is not in the top spot anymore. He's in the third spot. But Sabato says he's still in the top tier. This thing could still come out. There's a long time to go on it. I have a lot of respect for his judgment. I think that's probably absolutely correct. It remains to be seen how this is going to turn out. All we've got so far is some allegations. I think this is probably going to be with us for about a year before it all gets sorted out. And then the public will make up its mind about what did Christie know, when did he know it, and did he do something that he shouldn't have done, or did the people around him do something and he had the wool pulled over his eyes? And then you have to deal with, well, what kind of people does he have around him, and how could he be fooled? So we'll be dealing with this for a while.
Again, I'm speaking with Robert Ingle, who is the Trenton Bureau Chief for Gannett New Jersey Newspapers, who writes a syndicated column called Politics Patrol, an award-winning veteran journalist, broadcaster, and New York Times bestselling author. His books include The Soprano State, New Jersey's Culture of Corruption, and Chris Christie, The Inside Story of His Rise to Power. He tweets at BobIngle99. But one of the things that I find difficult to understand, and I suspect a lot of the public are somewhat troubled by this, is that you know that this whole bridge scandal that got him into trouble in the first place was supposedly a traffic study. The idea that you would screw up traffic on a monumental scale to the most important artery between these two big states on the surface makes absolutely no sense. But if it's all about when did he know and when did he know it, he, of course, went out of his way to say he didn't know it beforehand for obvious reasons. He fired everybody. And then in that long mea culpa that he did in front of the New Jersey Assembly, he also went out of his way to say that when it was happening, he didn't know anything about it. Because presumably, as the governor, if you'd find out that there's a disaster going on and you did nothing about it, you'd also be culpable. So, I mean, how could you not know about it?
Well, he, in fact, addressed that this week, because that's what all of us are asking. The bridge is the busiest in the world. A lot of people cross that every day. How could you not know that? And what he said was, you hear traffic reports about the bridge being backed up every day. He didn't think it was anything out of the ordinary. And he also said something this week that we had never heard before. He said that he asked his chief of staff to check with the Port Authority and find out if there was anything unusual going on. Now, if he had said that to me, I would have said, what did the report back tell you? But that question wasn't asked. So conceivably, he could have asked his chief of staff to check with the Port Authority, then talk to Wildstein at the Port Authority, who might have told him, we're doing a traffic study and it's not going very well. And he came back and told the governor, well, they were doing a traffic study. It wasn't going very well. You know, I mean, conceivably that could have happened. I don't know if it did or not. But if that were the case, then he could be telling the truth that when he checked into it, they told him a traffic study and he just accepted it. You know, you go a little further and you say, why would anybody do a traffic survey like that? Why wouldn't you do it on computers? Because they design airplanes on computers. Why can't they do traffic studies? But perhaps, you know, he tied up with other things and just didn't go any further. So conceivably, it could have come down that way. And the way he has handled this earlier this week when he was doing a radio interview, which is the first thing he's done since that 2-hour marathon press conference that he gave, he sounded to me like a defense attorney addressing the jury in a summation. He said, the only thing that matters is I didn't know. Well, you know, what he's trying to do is he's trying to build a case for if they can't you know, if the glove doesn't fit, you know, you can't convict, kind of a thing. If I didn't know about it, then nothing happened. That isn't true. There's lots of issues that are affected in this. But he seems, that would tell me, based on the whole record of this thing, that he's pretty sure there is nothing that links him to having any knowledge of this before it happened.
What the New Jersey radio appearance that you refer to on New Jersey's 105.5 FM show on Monday, you're alluding to a pretty softball interview, right?
Of course. It was a very softball interview. That's not a public service show or anything. It's a paid program. There's nothing that says the governor has to do it. He could walk away and say, no, I'm not going to do that show anymore. That's what John Corzine, his predecessor, did. Now, if he walks away and doesn't do this show anymore, it's a paid show, so they lose the advertising. And some would argue that that's incentive for throwing softball questions. The only new news that came out of it, other than he asked his chief of staff to look into it, was the fact that his office had been subpoenaed by the U.S. Attorney's Office. That was the only new news in a whole hour.
So is there, you think, in terms of, you're saying he may just sort of be able to, this will go on for a while, but he may be able to ride out the storm. What about, though, we're talking about, that's the political front. What about the legal front?
Well, we have to wait and see what the, I'm not a lawyer, don't even play one on radio, but I don't know. There's some people who have said that, you know, maybe this gets to a RICO situation. It really depends on why it was closed. None of us, I repeat, none of us think it had anything to do with a traffic study. We just don't believe that. The other thing is that, in fact, the Port Authority's already said there was no real traffic study going on. Now, a lot of people believe that it had something to do with the Democratic mayor not endorsing him for re-election, and it was sort of a payback kind of thing. That's really trivial and trite, and there's a lot of downside for that. There's another theory that because there is a new development going on there in Fort Lee at the foot of the bridge, a multi-billion-dollar development, that's very important to the town and the mayor, and that these traffic lanes were very, very important to that development, because without them, the development would be next to worthless, because you've got to be able to get in and out of there and get across the bridge. So there are some people who think there may be a connection there somehow to this development. It remains to be, you know, whatever it is they find out is what's going to determine which way it goes legally. And at this point, the only people who really know are the people involved.
Well, of course, the other development is very key, isn't it, to the accusations from the mayor of Hoboken about this Rockefeller development.
Right. Yeah, the grant, the development space there. And then, once again, that's development. And my book, The Soprano State, New Jersey's Culture of Corruption, goes into that development thing a lot. It is the mother's milk of politics in New Jersey. Almost everything can be traced back to development, because there's so much money there for lawyers and consultants and all of that. So it conceivably could be that, although, you know, we just don't know. But what we have down in Hoboken is basically a she said, she said situation. There's ways that that can be handled. For instance, the lieutenant governor could have said, well, yeah, I told her that there was some concern about that development, but I didn't tell her she had to do it or she'd lose her money, you know, that kind of thing. And unless they come up with more proof than they've seen already, I'm not sure how they could make that one stick.
Well, Bob Engel, in terms of your book, The Soprano State, New Jersey's Culture of Corruption, where does the, in terms of politics and development, where does the normal quid pro quo in politics, you know, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours, where's the line between that and between bribery and coercion, which is what the mayor of Hoboken is bringing up?
It's a very fine line indeed, isn't it? Because no matter which party is in, it's always been understood when that party gets in, there'll be all these goodies that they can control who gets what. somewhere along the line, I guess it would be if there was some proof that, say, somebody had to make a huge contribution and in return they would get their way out of development or something. I suppose that there's somewhere in there that becomes illegal. But when the book first came out, I mean, particularly, you know, people from California who thought it was the funniest book in the world, but they couldn't understand why people are still walking around when these kind of things go on. And it is in New Jersey law, it can be a very gray area. Things that are illegal in California can be perfectly legal in New Jersey, like holding more than one public office. Back in the day, that, you know, having more than one public pension, that, you know, that was just what they did. Although that would send you to prison in some states. So it's a very fine line, and the lawyers who are dealing with this are going to have to make the determination whether it was crossed or not. I just don't have the legal background to make a decision like that.
Well, but isn't it a bit odd, though, that you've got an administration led by a former U.S. attorney, a former federal prosecutor? I mean, that doesn't sound like a comfortable fit. You know, the politics of the culture of corruption and federal prosecutors.
And I'll tell you this. In the Soprano State, there are very few people who come out looking good. In fact, this stuff is so outrageous, my publisher made me write in there, "We're not making this up," several times, because they were afraid people would think that it was fiction that we were trying to pass off as nonfiction. Every word in there is true. But one of the people who does come off is Chris Christie. He sent more than 130 white-collar political types. They were either convicted or they pleaded guilty or whatever. And that nobody in the history of that office has ever, ever gotten close to that. And that's one of the reasons that people in New Jersey are a little surprised that this happened during his administration. They say, how could a guy who knows what goes on and he knows how to play the game and was elected in large part because he did put so many of these people in jail, how could his administration be involved in something like this? And, of course, his response is, I didn't know anything about this. We're checking into it. So that's where we are.
Well, but we all know that at least since the famous Kennedy-Nixon debates, that a lot of it's to do with, you know, how telegenic you are as opposed to how clean you are.
Yeah.
And you know, Christie was booed recently before the day before the Super Bowl in New York. So it seems to me that this bully thing is going to haunt him. Would you agree?
Well, I'm asked that a lot, and they usually word it like, okay, so you're in New Jersey, and you people are in-your-face type people, and we can understand why that would be popular there, but how about in the rest of the country? And they thinking that it would turn people off. I'm sure it does turn some people off, but when I was traveling writing the book, and people found out I was from New Jersey, they would say, oh, I love your governor. I like the way he just stands up and says what he thinks. So I'm not so sure that it's as big a turnoff across the country as some people think it might be, since he's never really run for national office and been out in the field in that context. I don't know if we can say that. I do know I've been out in the field with him in New Hampshire and North Carolina, two very different states. And in both places, they just loved him.
Well, but you just in closing, though, you said that this scandal will continue to dog him for some time.
Yes.
So as a candidate, he's now trying to raise money. That's the first stage. And the second stage is then selling yourself. You're going to have a hard time, one, raising money, and two, selling yourself, as long as the questions are about this damn bridge.
That's exactly right. But there is what the polls are showing is that the people who are now having second thoughts, based on basically the news coverage, is that the Democrats and the independents seem to be the ones who are having second thoughts. Now, that's important to him because he's been selling himself as a guy who can reach across the aisle and deal with the other side. So he really can't afford to lose that segment. Now, the segment that he traditionally has had problems with is the very conservative part of his own party, who are very important in primaries. Now, there is, I think, a scenario in which he can actually do better with this group of people if he can sell this as a news media pile-on and something being orchestrated by those liberal Democrats. That may make him actually more popular with this group that he traditionally has not been popular with.
Well, the ironies of politics. And I thank you so much for joining us, Robert Engel.
My pleasure, sir.
Again, I've been speaking with Robert Engel, the Trenton Bureau Chief for Gannett New Jersey Newspapers, who writes a syndicated column called Politics Patrol, an award-winning veteran journalist, broadcaster, and New York Times bestselling author. His books include The Soprano State, New Jersey's Culture of Corruption, and Chris Christie, The Inside Story of His Rise to Power. He tweets at Bob Engel 99. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program's available for podcasting at ianmasters.com. You can also contact me. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.